From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, July 7th. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri has seen a rise in immigration enforcement since the beginning of President Donald Trump's second term. Following the increase, St. Louisans have turned to immigration advocacy groups to aid families.
I think the most Christian thing you can do is end suffering, and these families are suffering right now.
Hear how volunteers have been helping immigrant families across St. Louis, coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis Metropolitan Police officers say they detained 41 teenagers 4th of July evening. Mayor Kara Spencer enacted a summer-long youth curfew for the city's downtown and downtown west neighborhoods. The overnight curfew runs through Labor Day. St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy says about 30 of the arrested juveniles were from outside the city. He says 8 had illegal fireworks and 1 was arrested for petty larceny.
We're asking for parents and guardians to know where their children are, who they're with, and what are they doing. The curfew is intended to keep young people safe.
St. Louis police say they also interrupted a planned street takeover this weekend in which 9 adults were arrested and 4 juveniles were detained. Metrolink is getting some upgrades as phase 1 of its secure platform plan is now underway. As St. Louis Public Radio's Anison Krebs Carr reports, the plan includes automated security gates, a fare collection system, and new camera technology.
Metro Transit officials say the project has been in the works for years and that they are always looking for ways to evolve. Bi-State Development President and CEO Talby Roach says they are slowly integrating the new technology.
8 years ago, there was many people who said that we couldn't do this, that we couldn't take an open system and change it to a closed system. But you know what? The public was asking in this investment to make it as safe and secure as possible. And that's what we're doing today.
Phase 1 of the plan includes 13 of the 39 Metrolink stations. 8 stations are in Missouri and 5 are in Illinois. Phase 2 is scheduled to begin July 27th. I'm Anison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Public Schools Board is seeking 2 more members. Candidate filing begins today for the open positions, which will be decided in the November 3rd election. Board members must be at least 24 years old, citizens and residents of the city of St. Louis for the past 3 years, and not hold any other elected position. The role is not paid. Several board members have resigned in recent years, with some voicing frustration over how the district's being run. The 2 openings will be filled months into Superintendent Myra Berry's tenure and amid a major school closure and restructuring proposal. Those interested in running have until July 28th to file at the city's Board of Election Commissioner's office. And tomorrow is the last day Missouri residents can register to vote in the August 4th primary. STLPR's Rebecca Thiel gives us a rundown of the major races and issues on that ballot.
Congressman Wesley Bell is once again facing off against former Representative Cori Bush for Missouri's 1st Congressional District, and residents in St. Louis and St. Charles counties will vote for county executive. But the biggest issues are the constitutional amendments. Amendment 5 would allow Missouri to get rid of the state income tax by expanding sales and use taxes in order to make up for that lost revenue. Some Republican lawmakers say this would help middle-class families build wealth and therefore help the economy. But some Democratic lawmakers worry shifting those costs to everyday items will hurt lower-income Missourians while giving the wealthiest a tax break. Then there's Amendment 4, which aims to make it harder to amend Missouri's constitution through the initiative petition process. That's what allowed Missouri voters to legalize marijuana. I'm Rebecca Thiel, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois is imposing tighter state regulations on artificial intelligence companies under a new law enacted by Governor J.B. Pritzker. The law will make AI companies disclose safety practices and report significant safety incidents to the public. It also provides whistleblower protections to industry workers who raise AI safety concerns. The law is designed to safeguard the public against any AI system that might cause physical or financial harm.
Look, this is not about punishing businesses or stifling the potential of this technology. Quite the opposite. It's simply about addressing some of the dangers that AI can pose.
The measure passed in Springfield with bipartisan support. Congress is debating what the next farm bill will look like, and the Senate unveiled its version of the law that will regulate everything from crop subsidies to SNAP funding. A Missouri farm group says the proposal contains positive changes, but leaves deeper problems unresolved. Joe Maxwell is a Missouri farmer and the president of the Farm Action Fund. He says the proposal doesn't do enough to help small farmers.
This system is failing. Agriculture system is failing. 63 farmers a day are going out of business, and families can't afford the food at the grocery stores. And this bill does nothing to change the structure of that.
But Maxwell is in favor of some aspects of the Senate draft, like preserving some state-level agricultural protections. Congress is expected to consider amendments after the July 4th recess. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the nation, claiming more than 15,000 lives in Missouri and 50,000 in Illinois each year. New research from the American Heart Association suggests rising rates of high blood pressure, obesity, and diabetes among women could drive even more heart attacks, strokes, and heart failure in the decades ahead. Karen Joint Maddox is a cardiologist at the Washington University School of Medicine. She says the most common risk factor for heart disease is high blood pressure.
The tricky thing about high blood pressure is that you can't feel it. So oftentimes people will have high blood pressure for years before it's ever found. That's slightly less true in women because women are more likely to go to the doctor for other reasons.
Joint Maddox says many heart attacks and strokes can be prevented through regular screenings and early treatment of conditions such as high blood pressure, as well as diabetes and obesity. As immigration enforcement from the Trump administration has increased across the country, St. Louisans have found ways to help immigrant families who fear deportation. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports on how grassroots groups and other organizations have been teaming up and recruiting volunteers.
It's Erica Murray's first time volunteering at a Kirkwood Church auditorium on a Sunday afternoon in May.
Does that mean two oranges equal a pound? So that can help us do the math when we figure out how many people need oranges.
Yeah.
She and others are packing boxes of food that will be delivered to immigrant families across St. Louis, many of whom have lost their primary breadwinner through deportation. Murray says it's her faith that guides her.
I think the most Christian thing you can do is end suffering, and these families are suffering right now.
About 100 volunteers are here to assist Abide and Love St. Louis. They're one of several St. Louis immigration advocacy groups that have mobilized over the past year and recruiting volunteers.
All right, folks, thanks again so much for being here today. Like you mentioned, it's kind of our second time running it in this format.
14-year-old Charlotte Dalby is here packing fruits, vegetables, and other foods in a box that'll be delivered to 43 families and 200 individuals. Dalby remembers how hard it was for her father to become an American citizen.
Imagine if English wasn't your first language and just how hard it is to be discriminated against and how all these other people, like, it's just so unfair and unjust.
Abide and Love St. Louis focuses on a few critical needs.
The gap is the families who are left behind when their loved one is detained by ICE.
That's Chris DePalma, president of the St. Louis chapter. She says the group stepped up to the plate after hearing from other advocacy groups about the vast needs.
And I said, oh, wow, that's big. But okay, we'll do it.
DePalma says volunteers will reach out to families of those deported, making sure they can pay rent and seeing if the children have food. Many of the families are referred to them through the St. Louis Rapid Response Hotline. Sarah Ruiz is executive director of the ASHRAE Foundation, a founding member of the coalition.
We quickly realized on the hotline that most of the calls we were going to receive were after enforcement activity had already happened.
That work requires volunteers to answer the phone, calling police departments, jails, and using federal tools like ICE locators to find people who have been moved around. Every group has heard about the families' fears. The International Institute of St. Louis has seen a 20% reduction in on-site services because families are afraid to leave their homes. But the pantry serves 1,000 people each month. Claire Baldeck is the Institute's volunteer coordinator. She and a team are bringing in carts of food they receive from Operation Food Search into their pantry.
I would say that changes are constant, and the people that you see here running this food pantry, they're extremely adaptable.
On the day of the weekly pantry, families wait as their raffle number is called.
540.
The pantry is a lifesaver for many, including a woman from Afghanistan who's here to pick up food for her six children. She says she relies on the Institute.
My husband and father has died. Right now my husband is not home, no have job. I'm no have job because I'm coming helping instead for rent house.
St. Louis Public Radio is not naming her for her safety. De Palma says the work can be grueling, especially when hearing the hard stories from the families they've sought to help get deported. But it also propels the organization to do what they do.
And it's really, really great to be working side by side, arm in arm with people who think exactly like you do and who feel exactly like you do.
De Palma says she and her team are committed to this work, even if it takes driving to one family at a time. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jessica Rogan edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks so much for listening to The Gateway.